From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 10th day of December 2010. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets and this morning's USDA World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates with Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Lafayette, Indiana. Later in the program, the folks from the Andersons from right here in Champaign County will join us to take a look at the agricultural cash grain markets. Bruce Bostard is at the Illinois Grain and Feed Association meeting today in Springfield. They'll be here in his stead. And as we close out the half hour, we'll take a complete look at what's happening in the world of agricultural weather on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal, providing clients with the latest market information based on research by ADM Investor Services and other independent sources. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
In Chicago on this Friday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The December soft red at 735.5 and the wheat pit was down 12.75. The March down 13 at 775.5 and July at $8.04.75, 9.25 lower. December corn at 560.25 today, unchanged. March at 574.25, unchanged. May at 583, unchanged. And July at $5.88, up 0.75 cents. December of next year at 529.25, down 0.5 cents. January soybeans 8.5 lower at 1273. The March at 1282.5, down 8. The May at 1287, 7 lower. July 1288.5, down 6.25. And the November futures of next year in the bean pit at $11.93.5, down 5.25. December bean meal finished at $3.39.10, 80 cents lower. December soybean oil was unchanged at $53.79. Live cattle futures finished up in the December contract at $100.95, 85 cents lower on the day. The February futures there at $103.95 for 100 pounds. We're down 67.5 cents. January feeder cattle today, 118.17.5, 10 cents higher. The March futures at 118.65, up 22.5 cents. December lean hog futures, $69.45, 2.5 lower. But the February on out, we're down, or rather that December contract was up 2.5. The February on out, we're lower at 75.15 in the February, down 75 cents. And the April at $79 even, down 82.5. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of the University of Illinois and Illinois Public Media. In the outside markets, crude oil trading now in the nearby contract at $87.75 a barrel, down 62 cents. Ethanol at $2.10.3, a penny and 8 tenths higher. Natural gas at $4.41.6, a penny and 9 tenths lower. January heating oil up a penny, or rather down a penny at this hour, $2.45.5. And gold futures finished the day down $7.80. Their final trade at $1,384.30 an ounce. Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 11,395. It's just about 25 points higher. The dollar at 80.06 is just about unchanged on the day. And the CRB Index at 314.91 is down 1.18 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service on this Friday afternoon. They say sky should be sunny, and they are. High near 41 degrees. Feels great outside. South winds at about 6 miles an hour tonight. Increasing clouds, a low of 28. South winds between 6 and 10. And Saturday, rain, a high near 37 degrees. South-southeast winds at 11 to 17. They'll turn to the west. Winds could gust as high as 22. The chance of precip during the daytime hours, 80%. Saturday night, it'll snow likely. Cloudy, a low of 17. The wind chills between 4 and 14. Blustery, of course, with a west-northwest wind between 17 and 23. They'll gust as high as 37. The chance of precip Saturday night is snow, 70%. On Sunday, a 40% chance of snow again, mostly cloudy, a high near 18, blustery, a north-northwest wind between 24 and 28, gusting to 38, and Sunday night, mostly cloudy, with a low of around 5 degrees. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the hour, and we hear from the folks at the Midwestern Regional Climate Center.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Friday afternoon. Time to check the agricultural futures markets. Mike Zuzulo, Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana, joins us. Good afternoon to you, Mike. How are you today?
Is it Friday already, Todd?
It is Friday, and you know what? It's also USDA report day, though. In December, we don't generally pay a whole lot of attention to what they have to say. This morning, they came out with their latest world agricultural supply and demand estimates, the ending stocks. Tell me about those numbers and what you saw in them.
Well, it was more like a traditional December, like you said, except in one way, I think, and that's something the trade's probably going to have to come back and take issue with. I certainly am taking issue with it based upon the private estimates and private news and information versus what the USDA and ABARE and Informa were talking about earlier this week, and that is the global wheat ending stocks. The production for Australia was raised 1.5 million tons on this morning's report, and the USDA specifically noted higher reported yields in eastern Australia, and they put that on their front page, and that continuing to boost production prospects. At the same time they're putting this out, we're seeing getting emails and getting information and anecdotal evidence that the one email I got this week, one of the people that I know down in Australia said the east coast of Australia is a disaster with nothing seen on this scale before, and that was obviously this man's opinion, and that's all you can take it as. But you have something in my mind, Todd, something on the scale of what we had to deal with the 09 corn crop here in the United States. You've got something brewing down in Australia that could be very, very significant to the futures prices down the road. But right now, ABARE, USDA are saying it's not that bad. Now, ABARE did come out and qualify themselves after they raised their estimates and said that there's a lot to be looked at. In fact, they said with a large percentage of the crop still in the field, the door's left wide open for further downgrades in the coming weeks. So I think that's probably the one thing that I would probably want to take issue with and take up again next week when we come back.
Well, I wonder what USDA has to say about that. There are countries around the nation, I know from our conversations with Joe Persaki at NASS, that USDA doesn't particularly believe and takes with a grain of salt when they give them information about the size of their crop. Australia is not among them. China, on the other hand, of course, is.
Right.
What does the Australian Wheat Board and the folks and the Australian government say about the size of their crop? Do you know?
Well, the ABARE figures are probably as close as we can get right now. I haven't seen anything out of the AWB at all.
Right.
And I think the ANZ bank is probably one of the chief people or groups spearheading the other side of the coin, how bad it truly is down there. And so I think that's where it goes back to, like Dave and I were talking about this morning, maybe this is one of those years, a lot like 2008, where the wheat does go flatline here after this December report, and then we have to wait until January's numbers or just before January's numbers before we start to kick it into gear again. I think here again next week, I think we'll determine that. If we can't pick up where we left off, at the start of this week, when before we got the bearish information, when the wheat was rallying, if we can't pick that up again Monday, Tuesday, then maybe we will start to see a flatline trade develop because of the volumes and because of the uncertainties and lack of information down there. Interesting to note, the March wheat was still able to close up on the week. So technically speaking, weekly charts look okay. Daily charts are the ones that look very, very vulnerable. And you know, if you are a person holding a January bean call or a January corn call or a January wheat call that expires on December 23rd, those are the ones that you really got to start to look at real closely, because you need the market to turn around. If you're long those calls, need them to turn around relatively quickly, or we may have a tough week ahead of us next week if we don't get the turnaround early on.
Well, USDA WASD numbers for the U.S. Ending stocks, of course, changed just a bit. In November, ending stocks for corn at 827 million, now 832. Average trade guess was lower than that at 806. Soybeans went from 185 to 165. Average trade guess there, 160. Wheat numbers in the U.S. actually came up, 848 for the ending stocks in November, 858. On today's report, anything that you take issue? I take not, really, with those numbers.
No, not at all. And I think before the report, the weather, the Asian markets and outside markets, and the technicals were the three leading indicators that I was using to give a friendly outlook for the short term for the grains. And I think that the report, other than what we just discussed on the wheat, I think the report, post-report trade action, we go back to those as the leaders to the trade when we come back next week.
So done with the report, I suppose, at this point. Back to where the leaders are. Tell me a bit more about what you see in the next couple of weeks as we head into the January timeframe.
Well, I think one thing that we have to watch along with the wheat is the Argentine weather. I think the trade in beans, specifically, Todd, they were really focused upon the weather in Brazil and it getting wetter, and good rains falling today and this weekend in Rio Grande do Sul. But there are still extremely dry areas of Santa Fe, Cordoba, and La Pampa that are not expected to get much rains the next 10 days. And I think that's where the trade could very easily come back around and reverse themselves next week. And I thought it was really interesting that January beans got down to within a penny, penny and a half of the weekly low put in place. I think it was Tuesday that we went down to that 1266 and a half level. We got down to 1267 and three quarters today, held that low. So technicians, I think, especially funds and those high frequency traders, those quantitative funds, they're probably looking at that 1266 area and that major low from this week as a key number to be watching next week. And if we hold that, then I think we could maybe try and go back up above the 1285 level and even maybe try the $13 level again. I also thought in the beans specifically, it was really interesting to see how we got to that $13 level, and it seemed like we just stopped dead, essentially, and we ran out of buyers, and the air got really thin up there. I think that might be your 150 million bushel carryover level for the United States ending stocks. The trade priced that in and couldn't hold on to that, and especially took a lot more back today.
So on the weekly trade, anything in that market that you really need to look at? For instance, on the chart, do we have, a hook down in that? I suppose we had a higher high but a lower close for the week.
Yeah, exactly. I think the beans and the wheat set us up from a technical perspective of needing to reverse this weakness that we saw today pretty quickly, because the daily charts look really, really tough right now. Again, the weekly charts, they're a little bit overbought, but not anything to worry about, I don't think. And I think it goes back to some of those commodity index charts. They are up on the upper level of their oscillators, but they still look relatively strong. And I guess trying to put the technicals and the fundamentals together of the weather, of the Asian equities and the outside markets, and then blend that together with the technicals, you would think, I think, that if we're going to go higher, it should be here in the shorter term. And with the wheat being the major factor on whether we go higher right away or whether we don't want to go higher right away and we want to wait until the January report.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
I think the only other thing I would say is we closed out the week with the EU wheat turning lower, but it was still near its contract highs, and the global wheat price is still very, very high.
Thank you so much.
Okay, Todd, see you later.
Mm-hmm. And that is Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Friday afternoon.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
It's a Friday afternoon, and you know that's the time we record Commodity Week. Actually, this week we recorded three Commodity Weeks, two yesterday. Those will come at you over, the winter break as the look back and look forward, although I'll post them into both the website and the podcast within the next few days. Awfully good shows. Hopefully you'll get to the website at willag.org, and you can hear those. Mike Zuzulo, speaking of Commodity Week, is probably slipping into the vehicle just about now to make that 90-mile trek over here. For Commodity Week this afternoon, he'll help us talk to Tom Fritz with EFG, and of course that'll be posted to our website at willag.org by about 6:30. Coming up next, the University of Illinois Crop Sciences team will hit the road in January to seven sites across the state. I'll have more on the annual Corn and Soybean Classic Series of Extension meetings. The Corn and Soybean Classic series of crop production meetings from University of Illinois Extension will kick off the new year. Extension researchers and faculty from the U of I will visit 7 sites across the state the first 2 weeks of January. Aaron Hager annually coordinates the crop production and pest management event.
Well, this year we'll have 8 specialists from campus who will be on the program this year, including Carl Bradley, Mike Gray, Terry Niblack, Fabian Fernandez, myself, Gary Schnittke, Emerson Nafziger, and Vince Davis.
That's a plant pathologist, an entomologist, a nematologist, a soil fertility specialist, a weed scientist, an ag economist, an agronomist, and a soybean specialist, respectively. Naturally, each will cover their area of expertise.
Carl Bradley will be discussing fungicides. Are they economical? Do they pay for themselves? Do we always see the yield increase that we always hope to when we make the applications? Mike Gray will talk about some of the stacked or pyramided refuge strategies for some of the new insect-resistant corn hybrids. Terry Niblack will be talking about nematodes that attack corn and soybean. Fabian Fernandez will be talking about improved nitrogen management through source, placement, and timing, a very pertinent issue for many farmers, especially given some of the heavy precipitation that they ran into in the 2010 season. Gary Schnittke will be talking about corn and soybean margins. Emerson Nafziger will discuss a formula for high corn yield. And Vince Davis will be talking in general about soybean agronomics.
The Corn and Soybean Classic Series is typically attended by a diverse agricultural audience. It's made up of farmers, landowners, input suppliers, and retailers, and bankers.
Another unique aspect that we feel about the classics is that rarely do you have an opportunity to, you know, go to one meeting where you have so many university extension specialists present at one time. And we really encourage people who come to the classics to come with your questions. You know, come to learn, but if you have questions about anything that's discussed on any one of the topics during the classics, we schedule question and answer sessions both in the morning and in the afternoon, and we certainly encourage anyone who has questions about the topics that were presented, please ask those questions. If you're not comfortable with asking them during those times, you can certainly pull aside any of the speakers when you have an opportunity and visit with them on a one-on-one basis as well.
You can find out more about the Corn and Soybean Classic online at www.cropsciconferences.com. That's all one word, cropsciconferences.com, or by calling this number toll-free, 800-321-1296. That's 800-321-1296. Pre-registration lasts through December the 18th and is $60. Walk-ins are welcomed at $75. The dates are January the 5th in Springfield, the 6th in Mount Vernon, and the 7th in Champaign. That's the first full week of January. And then in Bloomington, the 10th, Malta, that's near DeKalb, the 11th, the 12th, Moline, and on the 13th in Quincy, Illinois. That's the Corn and Soybean Classic Series. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Well, I hope you get a chance to visit one of the Corn and Soybean Classic Series again. It's cropsciconferences.com. Or if you hit Google, just search for Corn and Soybean Classics, you'll find it. And you can register there up to the 18th, that's next week, as a pre-registration to come to those events. I hope that you get out. This will be our 14th year with that roadshow. It's a really good one. And if you have not made it and you're in the agricultural arena, you probably ought to drop by and see us. The Corn and Soybean Classics coming up the first and second week of January. Those are a little earlier than usual, so you'll want to make sure that you check your dates in your areas. Time now to check the agricultural cash grain market on this Friday afternoon. Bruce Bostert is busy doing his duties with the Illinois Grain and Feed Association in Springfield, and Jenny Springer from the Andersons right here in Champaign County is filling in for him. Thanks so much for doing that, Jenny. I do appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Tell me about cash grain in the area. In particular, I want to know about basis and how strong it has been for corn and or soybeans.
We've seen quite a bit of basis appreciation since harvest. You know, we were at levels 30 to 35 under the December at harvest time. Now we're corn levels at 8 under the March for December and January delivery. It's been the same kind of story with the beans, going from a 30 to 40 under at harvest time under the November to a 10 under the January for cash beans delivered in December and January. You know, I think the basis levels are going to continue to stay strong through the Jan-Feb-March time frame. The only way we would see those, I think, relax just a little bit is if we see a huge market run not necessarily till the end of the year, but, you know, after the first of the year. But right now there's not a whole lot of grain moving. You know, guys were done with harvest early, and they kind of shut the bins up until after the first of the year.
And the price is currently just not enticing enough despite a very tight basis?
I think that guys, they got the taste of $6, and now they're waiting. I think the other side of that, too, is that, you know, a guy that thought he was 50 to 60% sold before harvest, you know, we saw the reduction in yields, and that he went from a 50 to 60 to maybe a 70 to 80% sold. And so he's holding on to that last percentage of bushels until he can, you know, try and get towards that $6 cash price.
When I talked to Greg, I think last week or earlier this week, I asked him whether he thought that was the right thing to do. He said yes. Do you agree with him?
I do. I think it depends on a guy's cash flow needs. I mean, if a guy needs money now more so than the grain that he's sold, you know, tell me what's wrong with a 566 cash price when we know where our cost of production is and it's well below those prices. So I think it just depends on an individual's needs.
And what are the bids there for the day?
Our cash corn is 566. Cash beans are 1263. New corn is 494, and new beans are 1148. And July wheat is 745.
Thank you so much, Jenny.
You're welcome.
Jenny Springer is with the Andersons. She's in their Champaign County elevator office. Fills in this afternoon for Bruce Bostard, who's busy with the Illinois Grain and Feed Association in Springfield today.
Support comes from Stewart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at www.stewart-peterson.com.
If you get the opportunity, make sure you do visit our website. The address is willag.org. There's lots of great things there, including today's USDA reports. Just scroll down the screen. About halfway down that page, you'll find a series of links. One of them says calendar. One of them says USDA reports. Hit that report, and you'll find an easy-to-use list of the stats that USDA released this morning on the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates. My thanks to Dave Dickey, Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media, for putting those stats in place and for sending out the text message to a whole bunch of you this morning that contained those USDA numbers, along with the email you probably picked up if you're signed up for the newsletter on the weekend. He sent that out last night. So our thanks to Dave Dickey. If you want to get the text message, the email, you can always go to willag.org and move over to the right-hand side of the page and look for subscribe to our weekend newsletter. If you give us your cell phone, we'll make sure that on USDA report days, you get an early look at what the numbers might have been from Washington, D.C. Back in just a couple minutes, then we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast here on the Closing Market Report.
It's National Lager Day. Lager yeast seems to have emerged during the Roman Empire, and its production faced almost immediate opposition from established brewers and the Roman Catholic Church. Private lager brewers were required to produce their beer outside city walls. On this day in agricultural history in 1864, Henry Rowell Schoolcraft died, an American explorer. He is noted for his discovery of the source of the Mississippi River in a lake in northern Minnesota, which he named Lake Itasca. Schoolcraft published an account of the journey in a narrative journal of travels through the northwestern regions to the sources of the Mississippi River. In 1855, Henry Ridley was born. An English botanist, he was largely responsible for establishing the rubber industry. His experiments convinced him of the enormous economic potential of rubber as a plantation crop. His principal contribution was to develop what is still today the basic method for tapping the tree, the removal at each tapping of a thin layer of bark from the end cut, thus permitting a smooth flow of latex and allowing the bark to regenerate. And in 1877, Dr. Jared Kirtland died. A physician, naturalist, botanist, and teacher, he is credited with developing 26 varieties of cherries and 6 varieties of pears. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Closing Market Report on a Friday afternoon. At this time, we usually take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Steve Hilberg is out of the office this afternoon. So is Jim Angel, state climatologist. That's all right, because Steve reported a bit of something for us. Let's look at the weather forecast not only for the weekend, but what happened here in Illinois this week in just a moment.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. The first full week of December was more like the first full week of January here in Illinois. The week began with snow in the northeastern half of the state, with the heaviest snow up to 9 inches in east central Illinois. The snow was followed by a surge of Arctic air that remained over the state most of the week. Temperatures this week were much below normal, as you might have guessed, ranging from 9 to 10 degrees below normal in southwestern and southern Illinois to as much as 13 degrees below normal over the snow-covered areas of the state. Low temperatures dropped below zero in locations in the northern half of Illinois on both Wednesday and Thursday mornings, where snow cover, clear skies, and light winds resulted in maximum radiational cooling. Precipitation was largely limited to the snow last weekend, although flurries occurred early in the week. A weak Clipper system brought some light snow and some mixed precipitation to northern Illinois late Thursday and Thursday night. The second full week of December will start out very cold as Arctic air plunges south behind this weekend's storm. A warming trend should set up the last half of the week as another storm system begins to organize in the central plains. That storm will likely affect Illinois next weekend, with some rain possible on Friday and some snow later in the weekend as cold air wraps around the low-pressure system passing to our south. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and Moline. More information is available from Maggie Robesky in Morris at 815-941-3725. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
A couple of final notes as we finish up this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. Next week, I'll be on the road with the Ag Economist for the Illinois Farm Economic Summits across the state. There are 5 of those. You can always visit the FarmDoc website and check out where those happen to be and what the cost might be. You're welcome if you'd like to show up. It's the FarmDoc meetings, the Farm Economic Summits, all next week. Dave Dickey will take this chair. My thanks to him for filling in. The other thing is that, of course, Commodity Week is coming up yet as a recording this afternoon at 4:30 p.m. We'll post it to about 6 o'clock to the website at about 6 o'clock tonight. Our guest will be Tom Fritz of EFG. Actually, the third Commodity Week we recorded this week, 2 of them yesterday. Our guest then, Michael Cordani, heir of Corn and Soybean Advisor, and Roy Huckabee of the Lynn Group. I'll try to get those up on the website fairly quickly within the next few days. They're lengthy, about 45 minutes each. You'll want to go to the website or the podcast and make sure you listen to those in their entirety. Commodity Week can be found at willag.org. That's W-I-L-L-A-G.org. You have a good afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.